Blog Talk Radio.
Yellow.
Okay, Patrick, we've got you on
yes.
the phone. I'm waiting to start our show. There shouldn't be any problem. We're on the air. Okay, Patrick, you've just had the let's introduce you. You're not only an author, and you are a person who's been around for 50 years. You're like a, I won't say political fossil, but you know where the bodies, some of the bodies are buried, who buried them, why they're buried, and who may be next. Would that be a fair?
Well, as a matter of fact, I question the title political fossil, since back in Chicago, you helped me bury some of the bodies.
We don't talk about that. You know, like I say, I'm behind the camera and rarely in front of it if I can avoid it. Patrick, now, we're in presidential season, and you've seen, you've lived through, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, who else? LBJ.
Johnson. Yeah.
And many. In fact, you've interviewed who? Carter, I think? You're the only one.
I interviewed President Carter.
When he was president or after?
This was after he was president, and after you're president, you can speak much more freely than you can when you are president. That
okay.
was what Carter told me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, I also briefly interviewed Kennedy he was JFK.
Okay.
And I also interviewed Ted Kennedy when he mm-hmm. was running for president.
Okay.
And I also interviewed and spent an afternoon with Gerald Ford before he became president, when he was still a congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And, Barack Obama. I spent some time with him when he was a state senator.
You should have stayed there, but that's another story. By the way, you didn't go swimming with Ted Kennedy.
No, I didn't. If I had, I wouldn't
that.
Fill you in on the details anyway.
Now, Patrick, you've seen several presidential campaigns, political campaigns. What do you make of this one, especially after somebody says...
This is the weirdest political season I have ever seen. I mean,
you're
it is
post.
Strange. Mm-hmm. None of the candidates are particularly attractive as a
right.
candidate.
Mm-hmm.
We're being asked to choose the lesser of two evils.
Well, we're always
on one hand,
question.
On one hand, we've got a senator from Vermont who is a nice guy who means well. He's probably too nice a guy for the job that he is asking for.
Did
and
you
then
ever
on
interview
the other
him?
Hand,
did
no.
you ever interview him? Okay.
No, I did not. No.
Okay.
That was the opportunity just didn't present itself.
Right, right. Even though he was in Chicago, did you know that? He went to the University of Chicago.
I know he was in Chicago, but I was doing other things at the same time. You know,
better things, I hope.
Well, I don't know about that, but I couldn't be in two places at one time. And then, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you know, we have the closest thing that I've seen to a would-be stormtrooper.
Who that?
The guy who trumps all the other candidates.
Oh, come on. I don't think you're being fair. I think what we're seeing with him, he's articulating what a lot of Americans, both not only whites, middle class and lower middle class, but Asian, some Asians, Latinos,
yes,
other people who feel disenfranchised. They have a sense of what has been wrong. They need specifics, and that's, we're not getting that from anybody.
Truth to tell, I happen to agree with a lot of what Mr. Trump has to say. However, truth to tell also, I don't think he realizes what the job involves and what is necessary to make those things happen. It's very easy to get up in a bar and say, I'm going to solve the ISIS problem by bombing the crap out of them and rounding them up. But you have a little thing here in this country known as a constitution, which limits a president's ability to do all of the things that he would like to do. And Mr. Trump seems to forget that other leaders in other countries have tried to ignore Congress, or in some cases Parliament, have tried to ignore the unwritten and in some cases written compact between people and monarch, or people and president. And for several of those people, they've come to grief. Remember Charles I. Charles I was basically a nice guy whose only problem was he thought he was answerable only to God.
Well, he wasn't the only one who thought that.
But Charles lost his head. Louis XVI lost his head. Louis XIV probably would have lost his head if he had been king a little bit later in the succession. Even Napoleon Bonaparte, who started out as a true protector of the people, and the fact of the matter is, Napoleon Bonaparte, for all of his dictatorial moves, did raise the standard of living of the average Frenchman somewhat substantially. However, even he eventually exceeded his powers. And remember, he was an emperor, not a president. And it's hard for an emperor to exceed his powers, but it does happen. And that was one of the reasons why it wasn't just the Allied coalition which was trying to overthrow Napoleon. It was French people themselves. The old saying, Lord Acton said it, and it's true today, absolute power corrupts, and power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, that's why we have term limits, which you don't always agree with me on that one.
I don't agree with you on term limits because we have elections. I know that. I know. There have been other countries which have had term limits, too. You know, in France, for example, they had term limits called the guillotine.
Bring it back.
I'm not suggesting we do that.
Public execution is very salutary.
I think they are. They really, you know, in some cases, really bring things to a head.
We can learn from the Chinese. I'm not talking about a dozen thousand cuts.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, you mentioned the abuses of Charles I, of course. You know, that's the problem with royalty. The gene pool runs out, especially when they start with brain power. But you forget about, since this is April and it's the end of the American Civil War, and we're having a whitewashing of the Confederate role in that bloody period in history, the first modern war, as you know, and you're an expert on this. But remember that Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. He did a lot of things. I think John Wilkes Booth did him a favor because he would have been impeached.
Okay. As a matter of fact, even as we speak, the Secret Service is on their way to have some conversation with you. The truth of the matter is, yes, if we had lost the war, Lincoln would probably have been tried for a number of things.
Even if we had lost it, Thaddeus Stevens and the radical Republicans who wanted to punish the South. No, you're an expert on this, Patrick. You know.
I know.
The vengeful feeling.
Yeah. I know, but I don't think that in the headiness of victory, I'm not sure that they would have been able to do anything much more than maybe besmirch his reputation a little bit. And because remember, the country at the end of the war, at least in the North, was giddy with victory. This was an end to the bloodiest war this country had seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, you lost almost as many Americans in the Civil War as were lost in World War II.
Right. Well, what's interesting now, here's another aspect, Patrick, and you know about, I hate to use the word conspiracy, I call it a coincidence of interest. It's the fact that...
Thank you, Mr. Goebbels.
Well, we don't want to give him any ammo. Well, you know, there has been the theory that's been spoken that certain Lincoln's cabinet members either covered up the role of the conspirators to assassinate Lincoln, and they may have de facto, caused his assassination, or blamed, cast the blame and light on other people who were actually innocent, like Mary Surratt.
Mary Surratt may have been guilty of conspiracy to kidnap, but Mary Surratt had nothing to do whatever with the assassination.
Right.
They were just looking for scapegoats.
Okay, let's talk about the Secretary of War. What's his
Edwin
name?
Edwin Stanton.
Right. Now, he looked to me like he was a conspirator. I think of Caesar and Casca and Crassus and all those people.
Well, see, Edwin Stanton was, he was more of a Shakespearean character. When you consider, here was a guy who hated Lincoln and didn't get along with him, and knew that after the war, Lincoln was going to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have this guy. Some people think that he had something to do with it. I don't know whether it was incompetence on the part of someone in the War Department who on that Good Friday, days after the main forces of the Confederacy had surrendered and they were celebrating in the streets, kind of loosened up security a little bit. I don't know if that was done intentionally or if that was just done, unthinkingly. But there are those today who still blame Edwin Stanton. In fact, supposedly, Robert Todd Lincoln in the 1920s was burning some papers. And,
well, where are those papers? Does anybody know?
Well, this is it. And some friends of his who had come over said, "Why are you burning those papers? They're important to history." And he said, supposedly, because it could possibly implicate a member of my father's cabinet.
I don't think it was Seward. I don't think it would be Seward. Because remember, he was a contender for the presidential nomination.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have been Seward. But the implication was that it may have been Stanton. And Robert Todd Lincoln. We all know that the Lincolns had an eccentric streak running through their bloodline. as well I know personally. Yes. Yes, even into the 1960s, I knew it. In fact, my mother chewed me out once for hanging out with somebody.
Woman. Yes, very perceptive.
Oh, she was. she was. But this sounded almost like a line from a movie, in fact, when she said, when she realizes who I was dating, and she said, "You, of all people, should be aware of the streak of insanity running through that family. Is that what?" And then she says, "Is that what you want running through our future bloodlines?"
Well, it obviously didn't happen. you were very... you are the Van... I consider you the Van Poppel. You're always going to land on your feet, Patrick. Sometimes you land on your ass, but you get up.
I always try to accommodate myself to a situation in a way that it benefits all concerned.
And you criticize my use of language? You know, coincides with interest. I'm not going to fall for that trap.
You were the one who, you know, if I had lived in France in the early 1940s, I would have had in my closet a picture of De Gaulle.
Yes.
A picture of the Führer.
And Pétain on the front. And
a picture of the pretender to the throne of France. And a picture of Roosevelt.
I guess you bring out the one. Yeah, okay, we got that one. Now, Patrick, let's getting back to this election. Were either, you know, some of the more extreme people who disliked Mr. O for a lot of reasons, said he was going to do a, you know, set himself up, or they was going to cancel the election. I said, that's not going to happen. You know, that's fantasy and insanity.
Yeah.
But what's the feeling? Now, let me tell you what's happening in San Francisco. I've seen, I did two exit polls for ABC in the past, and I saw things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Machines were already rigged for vote fraud, and I called attention to the people, the San Francisco election boards, who were wheeling in these machines to where I was
mm-hmm.
working. And I said, what is this? You got 150 here. I said, the people haven't even come in and registered to vote or voted. And I said, oh, we'll take care of that. And I said, I'm sure you would. So, and, of course, unlike in Chicago, where they're honest about vote fraud, this happened in one of our elections. The sheriff here is the most powerful law enforcement official. A lot of people don't know that. And they have a responsibility to bring in the ballot boxes from the outlying, from all the polling sites, you know, you walk in. And some of these boxes ended up in San Francisco Bay, but they were so incompetent that the boxes broke open and the ballots were floating onto the shore. I said, at least back east, they make sure those boxes would sink and stay sunk. Yeah, you know. I don't know how many ballot boxes are in the Chicago River or Lake Michigan.
Well, see,
but
we don't have to do that. We miraculously raise the dead on election day, and they miraculously realize that just because they are dead, their civic duty as Americans and as Democrats does not end. That they must continue even after death. And in fact, you know the line from Scripture, I am the resurrection and the life. He that voteth a straight ticket, though he be dead, shall live forever.
And vote forever. Well, this is interesting here. In the 2008 election, we saw a lot of Hillary stickers in that and Obama. But now, you hardly see a Hillary. You see a lot of Bernie and the burn and all
yeah.
that. And I said, yeah, you don't know what the burn's going to really be if this guy ever gets in there. But anyway, I don't think people have the enthusiasm for Hillary that they had maybe in 2008 or even before that. What's your read in Illinois? Since he is
I think
native.
You're right. I think people are voting for or will be voting for Hillary kind of as the lesser of some not very attractive choices. The only people that seem to have any great fervor for their candidate are the people who are supporting Trump. You know,
well,
he's got
diehard Cruz, and somebody says, yeah, he's on cruise control and all of that. And I think
the latest
thing he's done, of all, here's a guy who wears his morality on his sleeve, and I said he's a hypocrite. And I call him the Canadian Manchurian candidate because he reminds me of Senator Iceland and, you know, that original version. And his wife's got more brains than he does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he bankrolled his campaigns, and she's involved with all these, the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, the North American Union, all this political garbage. And, you know, this is troubling. But what's more troubling is when he selected Carly Fiorina, who is a home wrecker, and she just nearly destroyed a Hewlett Packard, and she walks away with millions of dollars while these people, you know, all these employees lost their jobs, were, you know, had to look for other jobs in an industry, which I think is going to crash anyway. But, you know, and then she's involved with, she's pro-Islam, and I said, hey, wait a minute. You know, with all the problems we're having with that group, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just don't see it. And now today, all the Republican candidates, the Howdy Doody from Ohio, that's Kasich, that's what I call
right.
him, and Cruz and Trump are here at, and down the peninsula at Burlingame meeting with the California Republicans who haven't got their act together since George Christopher, who ran for governor against Reagan, who's also a personal friend. And but that's another story, a much longer story. But I just don't, you know, I think people are, in a sense, we see part of the George Wallace campaign. Remember that one? And what was that, 68?
I remember.
Yeah, I
remember.
Mean, there's a lot of angry, I hate to say it, a lot of angry white people out there.
There are, and with good reason in some cases.
Yeah.
In many cases, everything, not everything, but many of the things that Trump is saying resonates with people who are not by nature far right wingers. But the fact is that he is not the person to carry out that mission. He
may talk a very good game. He may be, well, he may be a Coolidge. You remember Coolidge said the business of America is business, and I add a corollary to that, that it's not these bogus nonprofits, you know, these poverty profiteers who, you know, profit on the back of poor people. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff that goes on that I've exposed. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, these people feel disenfranchised, and I just hope I'm leaning in his direction, but I want to see who his VP is going to be. You know,
the only reason I'm not warm to the man is because of the fact that I just question whether if he got elected, he would be able to do the job.
Well,
that scares me.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, he's done quite well in the real estate business. We have a major real estate meltdown.
I know several people who have done quite well in the real estate business, and they themselves would be the first to tell you that they should not be allowed to go anywhere near the Oval Office. You know,
well,
it's just not because you're successful in one area does not necessarily make you successful in another.
Well, we need managers,
and
this is the problem. The economy is a mess. We need managers,
you know, but maybe if you want managers, then maybe we should look at the graduating class of the National War College. They train managers there.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Much of what is taught at the War College and the Staff and Command College is the same sort of stuff you would learn at the Kellogg School of Management here. It is how to manage people, how to delegate authority, and that kind of thing. And you need to have somebody with that kind of background, or at least knows how to find people with that kind of background. Otherwise, you're going to have complete chaos.
Well, you know the problem with generals. Once they get in power, it's very hard to get them to go back into the barracks. And we've seen that with Pinochet. We've seen it with the Greek colonels. You know, I get very leery. It's very hard to get these people on the leash and bridle them and muzzle them. I hate to say that.
Well, yeah, except for the fact that, you know, now when I'm only being partly flippant, you know, now with the large number of female officers, you know, reaching positions of seniority, it might be less difficult to get the generals to go into the barracks than it might have been before.
Yes, I got that. The problem with that, Patrick, is we are seeing, I hate to say it, but we're seeing, and I've seen this at the American Bar Association when Hillary came here in 1996, I think it was, and I covered that. Lesbians want political power, and we and this is what's troubling. And this alliance between gay men and lesbian women is only a matter of convenience. They feel they've been disenfranchised, and men get all the credit and all that, and they do all the, you know, they're in the trenches. And to an extent, they're right, but I disagree with sexual preference agenda. It should be kept out of the pulpit, kept out of the schools, kept out of the confessionals, or maybe that's where it belongs. But,
well, you know, there's another thing. There's another thing also. You know, if worse comes to the worst, you know, I don't know how much you know about witchcraft and sorcery.
You know,
and
more about it than I do.
You know, being closely in league with the devil. But has it ever occurred to you that some of these may be indeed working for darker powers than we could imagine?
I see you listened to a Boehner yesterday when he called.
No, I didn't.
You already called Cruz? He called him Lucifer.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
No,
he called him an SOB and a few other things.
I'm just reminded of this song from some musical of about 15, 20 years ago. What a wonderful day for an auto da fe.
Yeah, well, we have that in a Verdi opera, Don Carlo, which is one of my favorite operas. That part where they, salutary public exhibition.
Look, sometimes flame can be cleansing.
Ask Joan of Arc about that.
Well, hey, if you were a French bishop in 1431 at the time of the trial, and here you have this teenage cross-dresser who hears voices.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah, well, we've had that with Fatima and all of these other, was it Lourdes? Yeah, all these places where the Virgin God, you know, is supposed to appear, and all those clergymen who don't want to accept this, or, you know, can't see beyond their collar or the collection plate, you know, prosecute these people or persecute them.
Well, you know, there have been frauds, there have been phonies, and it has been necessary to discipline some. But on the other hand, they do try to separate the phonies from the genuine article. That's why at Lourdes, for example, they have doctors there who are selected. One of the reasons they're selected, those individuals are selected, is they are non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any Catholic doctors at Lourdes. They have agnostics and atheists.
Okay.
So the reason they do that is so that they are not swept up in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as auto da fes are concerned, you know, we burn, or used to burn, leaves at the end of summer and into fall. We have piles of leaves and we burn them. We clear away those leaves to make room for the new. And
I
do see where I'm going with this.
Okay, Patrick, let's get serious.
I don't know if in San Francisco we want to say, you know, sometimes there comes a time to pile the faggots high. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about branches. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, they still don't realize. I asked somebody, I said, do you have a dime in your pocket? A Truman dime. Okay, you get the point. So let's get serious, Patrick. How do you see now, how bad is the economy in Illinois?
The economy in Illinois is great if you're already wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks if you're trying to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they say that unemployment is down in Illinois is because so many people are no longer on the unemployment rolls because they've used up their eligibility.
So what are they, food stamps or what?
Whatever they can get, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because their eligibility has worn out.
Well, are they migrating to, like, the West Coast or to Mexico or, you know, where it's warmer?
I don't know. I don't know. I would think so. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we're getting a lot of that.
Because if I were...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Looking for another place, and I were on the streets, I'd go to a warmer climate.
Yeah, well, I have an idea of some of the people who've been profiting from this. I'd like to send them to a very warm climate.
Again. Again. Sometimes it's necessary to re-look at that series, The Borgias. On TV.
There are two versions of that, mind you. Yes. Some pretty racy, to say the least.
Understand, I'm really only kidding, but I do think it's time for a kind of a house cleaning.
Oh, yeah, well, it's certainly at the top of the Catholic Church. I hate to say it. I want to bring back order, orthodoxy, and discipline, and bring back the Inquisition.
Well, Francis is trying to, you know, is
but
trying
to do
that.
But he's a Jesuit, and they're political, and that's my objection.
Sometimes you have to be political to understand what game is being played here.
No, I think they want to rig the game. I know. My experience with Jesuits. No. By the way, here's an aside. Did you know John Foster Dulles' son, he had one son who was in the military. Foster Dulles was a high church Presbyterian, if there's such a thing. And
Presbyterian
his son,
or Anglican?
No, Presbyterian.
I thought he was Anglican. Presbyterian? Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, okay. Son became a Roman Catholic and taught at Georgetown, and he was elevated.
And became a cardinal.
Bartlett. Yeah, well, that was awfully quick.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well,
Georgetown,
no, he was a mature man when he got his red hat.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. No, and
yeah.
He didn't last
and
that long.
And see, the Pope can make any male he wishes
right.
a cardinal. Now,
yeah, talk
since...
to boys about that one.
Now, since like 1917, it has been canon law, I guess, that you have to have taken holy orders.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
prior to that time, you didn't necessarily have to be a priest at the time you were made a cardinal.
Right.
That would come later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's maybe lopsided, but, you know, I mean, the cardinal, look, the highest priestly rank is bishop. Cardinal is a title over that, but it is not necessarily, it's not necessarily a priestly rank, although we think of it as such, because you don't have you don't have any more sacerdotal powers as a cardinal than you did as a bishop. A bishop can confirm. A bishop can do a number of other things a priest can't. The same powers are given to a cardinal.
Right.
And
but the bishops can't vote for the Pope.
No, as a matter of fact, some cardinals can't vote for the Pope either.
Oh, yeah, I know
they're
over 75. Right.
Yeah.
On
the other hand, they can be elected Pope.
Mm-hmm, right.
See, this is the interesting thing about it. You can't vote for Pope if you're over 75, or I think it's 80, actually. But you can be elected if that's the sense of the House.
Now, we keep hearing about these pedophile priests, bishops, and nobody's talking about the nuns. There were a couple of scandals here where some girls were molested by some nuns. But what's the situation back in the Chicago Archdiocese?
I have not heard anything really about, you know, nuns performing those kinds of outrages and abominations.
Well, there weren't that
However,
many, but...
I know. There are nuns of a lesbian orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Because there used to be in the 60s, and I don't know if it's been disbanded, but there was the American Lesbian Nuns Association.
Well, I didn't know there was. Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Now, I don't know if that organization is still, you know, around or if it's been disbanded or what. But, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to Google and find out.
I'm not saying they practiced it.
Right, right.
You know, because
well,
it's one thing to be of that orientation. You know,
right.
If I say I am a cannibal, that doesn't necessarily make me a criminal until I take that first mouthful.
Or you see an attractive morsel. And I'll leave it at that. Well, no, I bring this up to people. I say, look, Catholic Church is the biggest church in the world, but, you know, pedophilia is not restricted to some members of the Roman Catholic Church's clergy. We've got rabbis who've been caught doing things. We've had, they call a convert to our church, I think it's Paul Wilson, who was an Anglican. He called the Anglican Church the high church of sodomy. And I said, yeah, and black mass too. And then we have, you know, all kinds of other clergy and those who are sure, who claim like Jim Jones and people like that, and Oral Roberts, who have committed all kinds of sexual predator crimes and were exposed. So it's just unfortunate that we're bigger, but that doesn't make us worse.
No, as a matter of fact, you mentioned this, you know, you've heard of the Brotherhood of the Red Ram, you know, so of course. And, that's an organization that was founded by an American who had visions in 1971 and proceeded to preach what he had heard, and behold, there is this organization.
Now getting to the election forecast, since we're coming to the end. I think his name is Mark Kirk, Republican. Is he the junior senator?
Senator.
Okay,
senator.
And then you've got...
Yeah, and he was also until he retired a couple of years ago. At the same time, he was a senator. He was a naval intelligence officer.
Right. Yeah. And there's controversy about that, but I won't get into that. Well, what now? He's running. Who's running against him, and what's that person's chances?
Tammy.
Veterans Administration.
She's a member of Congress now, but she was head of the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
Yeah, Tammy Duckworth.
Is she a Democrat? I mean, I assume she's a Democrat.
She's a Democrat. Yeah.
Now,
and very nice lady. I've met her.
Uh-huh. And she has been wounded or lost her legs or something? I forgot what.
She lost both of her legs when her helicopter was shot down.
It's like that guy that Carter had as head of the Veterans Administration. Later became a senator. Remember him? He lost his legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what are her chances against Kirk? What kind of a senator has he been?
Her chances are pretty good. She's a very popular person. She's a very coherent person. And there's not much... dirt you can dig up on Tammy Duckworth.
Okay.
Because it isn't there.
Well, there's a lot of other people you can dig a lot of dirt and keep digging.
Right, but no, she's, you know, she's a stand-up person. Figuratively speaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, your mayor, Romney, who was a ballet dancer.
Twinkle Toes.
Now, since he was involved with the Clinton administration, has he openly embraced Hillary, or is he just standing on the sidelines waiting to see?
He's standing on the sidelines.
Now, somebody, we brought this up about Biden, that he's the fallback position guy, and the Democrats have had this has happened. You remember Eagleton, and controversy in, what was it, 68, where the Democrats had to dump him, and they brought in Muskie?
That was 72.
Okay.
It was 72 when they had to dump Eagleton.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's my view. I think if Obama doesn't block it, that she will be indicted. I keep, you know, hearing it from too many sources. And
I really don't know about that. I've heard the stories and this sort of thing, and I don't know if there's any, you know, substance to it, but
well, it's a lot of other things, that controversy swirling around that woman. You know.
Well,
you know,
there isn't a person who has achieved that position who doesn't have controversy swirling around them. I mean, if you were to be running for Congress or the Senate or the presidency, I'm sure that some stuff could be dug up on you.
I'll make sure it's buried.
You know. Well, you know, I mean, seriously.
I'm kidding.
They can dig up stuff on any of us that might or might not be true. But it does keep the conspiracy types busy fantasizing for a while. I mean, I don't know if Hillary is guilty of anything or not. I really don't. I do know that it's very easy to make anybody appear guilty.
Well, I don't think she appears. I think she's been dodging so many things. The Vince Foster controversy, the Ron Brown controversy, HUD scandals. I mean, I could name, there's a whole list of things.
Okay, now let me play devil's advocate for a minute, and I am not a Hillary supporter necessarily.
Uh-huh.
Let me play devil's advocate. When you are playing at that level for a period of time, you are going to be doing things that are going to get you involved in a number of cases, some of them very controversial. And, you know, you're going to do things, no matter what you do, that some people don't like.
Well, a lot of people don't like. I mean, we're seeing it. It's quite. There is, I think you've seen this. There was a poster put out, and I got a copy of it here, San Francisco. No bullshit. This was Bernie Sanders' thing. And then another one where we had a mayoral election, and I think I've got the poster copy, where a guy's holding a handful full of merd, and he said, same old shit. So, talking about the election. Well, you know. People are getting down to the nitty-gritty, as it were. I hate to say it. Well, if the election were held today, Patrick, do you have a prediction?
Do I have a prediction?
Yeah,
if the election...
Go ahead.
If Trump has to get the nomination by his party, and it's almost certain that Hillary is going to get the Democratic nomination.
Right.
And so you're going to have Hillary versus Trump, probably. I think it's going to make an interesting race. I mean, I really do, but I don't. I mean, look, there are a lot of people that support Trump, not because they like him as personality, but because of, as you said, what he is saying in many cases makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, there are people that are going to be voting for Hillary as the lesser of umpteen possible evils there.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if anybody that is really enthusiastic about Hillary. I see a lot of people who are enthusiastic about Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, right.
But the problem is, Bernie Sanders is he electable? Yeah.
No. No, I don't think he is.
I don't know.
No, well, some things have happened. Okay, Patrick, we must do this again, and then happy end of the Civil War. By the way, I'm.
Well, that was that happened. That happened this year.
Oh, one last thing, Patrick. You're an expert on the Confederacy and the Union things, the kind of a historical Matthew Brady. What's your view on these people who are trying to revise history regarding the Confederate flag, taking down statues of Confederate generals?
I think it's ridiculous. The Confederate experience is part and parcel of the South, and not every person who wore a Confederate uniform was incidentally a slaveholder even supported slavery. There were a number
of rights.
It was states' rights. There were a number of issues involved here, and I think it's very easy to blame everything on the Confederate flag. If I were a member of the Sons of the Confederacy or something like that, and they started taking down the Confederate flags, I would simply start hanging up the real Confederate flag. The Stars and Bars, which was the one with a circle of 11 stars.
Oh, I didn't
the
know
11 states.
I have to look that one up, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
look under Stars and Bars. The flag from a distance looks like ours. It's got a blue field, in the jack.
Right.
Then it's got one white stripe, and over each of that white stripe are a red stripe and a red stripe. But from a distance on a smoky battlefield, it looks like a Union flag, which
right.
is
Wasn't
why
the battle
they
flag
changed
that,
it.
Right, they carried that into battle. Was that the flag? I've got
the one with the cross of St. Andrews. Yeah, that was the one that was carried into battle because in the smoke of battle, it was more easily distinguishable than the original Stars and Bars.
Ah, okay. Well, I agree with you. I think this, this is part of
Go Google Stars and Bars, and go Google Confederate flags, and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that, and also these ignoramuses that slavery was a dying institution, the cotton gin was changing that, and a lot of other factors, but I agree with you that, and I really think one of my interesting, I had it in the book that I have to revise, Jefferson Davis is one of the most remarkable men in American history.
Did you know he adopted a black child? Did you know he adopted a black child?
Yeah, I heard about that. Fascinating guy, Secretary of War, and all those generals in the American Civil War had fought in the Mexican War. I mean, these guys are West Pointers, and just amazing. This is our history. But anyway, it's always good talking to you, Patrick. Like I say, you're a real journalist. And what's that reverberation? Who's listening in the NSA?
Oh, my phone is beeping because somebody is trying to.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't have a speakerphone. Someone is trying to get a hold of me.
All right, tell him that I'm releasing you from all your bonds. You can play Bond Captain. Okay, Patrick. We're going to end with our usual politics. We'll talk again. I'm going to end with my usual politics and poker. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
And vote right.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
Guys, go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and carve and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Madam.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where you're
your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot! That's me!
We'll be back Monday at our usual time, 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas YouTube. And we'll be updating our blog. We've been hacked, as I said, and it's been difficult recovering some of those files. So stay safe and good night.